Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. My name is Nick Parks, and I'm from the Microfame Media Network. Today, I'll be interviewing David Schreiner-Kahn as we continue with our mini-series, Fire Your Business Coach. On this episode, we're talking about business coaches versus therapists. We're going to be talking about some of the similarities, but David, let's start with some of the differences.
Well, one of the big differences is not in what they do, but in the credentials they need in order to be qualified. A coach can print a business card and say, I'm a coach. Or maybe not even print a business card, just say, I'm a coach, and try to make a sale. There are credentialing bodies for any kind of therapist, and education, and all kinds of hoops that somebody has to jump through to be qualified and call himself or herself a therapist.
Yeah, which I think in a lot of ways could actually be potentially dangerous, because I think people can view their coach as someone who's qualified and someone who's going to operate with ethics. But kind of like you said, it's someone who could have just printed up a business card. I know we've covered that in episodes, how, you know, maybe they haven't actually owned and operated a business of their own. But I think this is definitely worth talking about, because it can even cover, you know, personal areas of your life. These coaches, they might not be held accountable to things that say a therapist is.
Well, one of the reasons why people often hire coaches, particularly CEOs or business owners, is because it's very lonely at the top. There are certain things you're not going to talk to anybody about. You're not going to talk to your employees about. You're not going to talk to your customers about. If you have a spouse or a significant other in your life, you may not feel comfortable talking to him or her about some of these things. You're not going to talk to your investors about them if you have investors. So where do you go if you have fears or insecurities, or you're unsure about how to proceed and you feel you need to confide in someone to try to unearth a solution?
I think the thing about that with the coach is the barrier for entry is very low. What is going to happen to them if they reveal these secrets that you've given them? I mean, not much, right? It's very different than confiding these things in, say, a psychologist, and then the psychologist shares all these personal things. You know, if they say, oh, the CEO of this huge company is worried about making profits this quarter, that's a very, very different scenario than someone revealing that to a coach.
And also, in terms of what, again, because there's not really much in the way of regulation in the coaching industry, what kinds of rules of behavior or conduct are coaches held to compared to therapists? Therapists have all kinds of rules of conduct that you can't breach. In the United States, there are the HIPAA regulations. You can't reveal information without the patient's permission. Even when there's a third party who's paying for the services, you can't reveal information to the third party without written permission of the patient. Think about what happens in the coaching relationship if there's an investor who's paying for the coach, and then the investor asks the coach a question about the progress that the client is making. What does the coach say? Who is the coach actually responsible for maintaining confidence? Is it with the company CEO or with the investor?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting scenario, because that's the thing with being a coach. I mean, even if you do, maybe if something like that happened and it didn't end well and the coach lost the client, there's nothing saying you can never be a coach again, which is very different than the medical field, where they can be just, I guess, banned from ever practicing again.
Medical field, the legal field, accounting, right? You can be disbarred if you violate certain rules as an attorney. You can lose your credentials as an accountant. Certainly can lose your credentials as a medical doctor.
Which I think brings up the question, do people talk to coaches about personal things that go outside their business. I mean, it sounds like it definitely could happen. Like you said yourself, it's lonely at the top, and maybe these entrepreneurs need to talk to someone, or, you know, maybe they just need to kind of vent or complain, and they need someone to listen.
Not only do I say it's possible, I say it's likely. Personal values and business values are very intertwined. And what happens in your personal life affects your business life. What happens in your business life affects your personal life. I would say it's very likely that a coach is going to hear some significant personal issues, particularly if it's a long-time coaching relationship.
Yeah, I mean, because I think what a lot of these coaches even promise to deliver can be kind of an emotional, personal thing, you know, talking about more happiness, or maybe more independence or personal freedom, even though those things are good, and who wouldn't want more of those? That's very different than saying, I'll increase your sales by X date. Would you say that there are a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners that, is this something that could be prevented by going in with clear goals?
I would say it's pretty common to know that there's a problem and to know that you want the problem solved. I would say it's way less common to know what needs to be addressed to solve the problem. And I can tell you, I've seen this very frequently with clients where they think the problem is one thing, but in fact, it is something else. A really common one is a business leader is having great difficulty getting direct reports to perform well. And it turns out that the problem isn't so much the skill set or the capability for the direct reports to perform. It's how the leader communicates expectations and delegates and continues to communicate with the direct reports as the reports are working to solve business problems. So it has very much to do with the leader or the manager's style, probably more than it does with the employee's capabilities. But somebody looking for a coach is not going to say, hey, coach, I don't think I'm very good at managing people. Can you help me? By saying, my employees keep making mistakes. We need to fix this.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I certainly think in that process, you could reveal a lot of personal information to your coach while going from my employees are making a lot of mistakes to I'm not very good at managing people. I need to improve.
Right, because we might go into, well, why is it that you wanted to go into a leadership or a management role in the first place? What is it that you like doing and you don't like doing? What is it that you feel you're good at and where you keep running into problems? What have you done to try to solve these problems? Personal stuff is bound to come up. Often when people are in management roles, the way they deal with their employees is not, if they're parents, it's not so different than the way they deal with their kids. So sometimes family situations will be revealed. And these are things that the manager is going to be pretty reluctant to talk to a spouse about.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I see a lot is, you know, kind of these memes and these quotes and all kinds of things on social media talking about, you know, if you're looking forward to the weekends, then, you know, you don't have your life together. If you're looking forward to vacations, and there's a lot of emphasis on your job, which I don't disagree with that you should enjoy what you're doing. But I think it can be taken to an extreme to where people are hearing, well, I need to find my life calling or something that's beyond fulfilling. And so I think kind of personal stuff can very easily get woven into that. And if you bring a coach into the mix, you can very easily start revealing those things when trying to figure out what the problem is and then how to solve the problem.
Right, because we start talking about issues around personal fulfillment in a business context. If you want to be fulfilled in what you're doing as a business leader, the personal fulfillment is very intertwined.
And so, yeah, I guess to kind of change gears a little bit, but, you know, I'm wondering how that's different than, say, like a corporate psychologist, because from what I understand about that, maybe they kind of work on, maybe it's a little more group oriented, or they work on communication. Maybe they come up with a curriculum that can say to the manager, okay, some people work, maybe it's like a DISC profile. You know, these people are a lion, these people are a golden retriever. So here's how you need to communicate with this group. Here's how you need to communicate with this group. Would you say that's pretty different than what we're describing with coaches and kind of a one-on-one basis?
Well, a corporate psychologist may have the kind of background that is primarily focused on behavior and how behavioral issues play out in the workplace and how that impacts the organization's performance. A coach is likely to touch on behavioral issues as well. The coach may not start off in the same place, but may touch on some of the same issues. In an article by Bill Cole called "Do You Need a Therapist or a Coach?" the author explains some of the differences between the two, and there are a lot of commonalities that he touches on as well. But the two points that I think one should keep in mind is how the professions are defined. So he's defining coaching as a process where the client and coach become a team, focusing on the client's goals and needs and accomplishing more than the client would alone. And he's defining psychiatry as the branch of medicine that deals with mental, emotional, or behavioral disorders. So the definitions are quite different. One of the differences that I see in therapy versus coaching is if you're looking at trying to get some support from a community, I don't see anyone being tied into a community of therapists to try to come up with solutions to challenges. But you can be tied into a community of people who are in a peer support role, providing some coaching help. So as an example, coaching is all about creating strategies, objectives, plans, and helping you implement the plan. Therapy is just about a treatment plan. Coaching is really, as we described it, focusing on creating the future, and therapy seeks to heal the past. Coaching takes you from where you are and helps move you forward. Therapy examines some unfinished emotional business from all stages of life and tries to address it so you can get past it. So I can see how you could really benefit from some coaching elements of being in a peer support community, but I don't see that working with therapy at all. Therapy, I think, is a very one-on-one process. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter. And please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you would write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious. I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.